Over the last several months in the teen Sunday school class, we've been making our way verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark. And when we came to the familiar verses in Mark chapter 4, and we studied the parable of the sower, something jumped out at me. The parable is not just a parable about hearts, about soils. It's also a parable about hearing. 9 times in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, we find the words hearken, hear, and heard. And so as we study this parable this morning, I think we need to ask ourselves these two questions. What kind of heart do I have? And what kind of hearer am I? Let's look at verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Jesus began to teach a great multitude, perhaps the largest crowd of people that Jesus had addressed up to this time. The crowd was so great that Jesus had to get into a boat and push out from the shore in order to teach the crowd. And verse 2 says, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. Jesus taught the crowd in parables. Back in chapter 3 and verse 23, Mark introduces this word parable. And he says in verse 23 of chapter 3, and he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? He uses that word parable 7 times in Mark chapter 4. The word literally means to throw alongside. A parable, I'm sure you've heard as a child, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable is a familiar image that helps to explain a spiritual truth. And as they listened to Jesus, there were some in that crowd of people who came to faith in him. And there were others who became more hardened in their unbelief. Let's take a look at, first of all, the communication of the parable in verses 3 through 9. Jesus begins with hearken, listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. We assume that people understand what a sower and sowing is, but let me just clarify that a sower is a farmer who would go out and sow the seed, broadcast the seed by spreading it by hand. Verse 5, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. He finished the parable with these words, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus begins and he ends this parable with a plea to hear. And it's often called the parable of the sower. But really, as we look through this parable, there's more emphasis on the soils, right? And so probably a more accurate title would be the parable of the soils. It's interesting that the same seed produced different results in different kinds of soil. And that's the point that Jesus is getting to. But why teach the people in parables? The purpose of the parable we see in verses 10 through 12. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. The word mystery there has the idea it means a profound spiritual truth that God reveals at the time he chooses to the people he chooses. Here he's revealing this mystery to his disciples. It's the mystery of the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God would expand and grow by the preaching of the gospel. These verses, especially verses 11 and 12, are a little difficult for us to understand. Verse 12 says, that seeing they may see and may perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And it almost seems like Jesus is trying to hide the truth from the people, right? It's almost as if Jesus is trying not to bring them to a point where they turn from their sins to him. But that's not the case whatsoever. I think we get a better idea if we look at the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the sower is given here in this chapter. And Jesus explains the purpose of parables, beginning at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And Jesus is getting to this idea that those who reject the truth, they're given truth, they reject the truth, the little truth that they have eventually will be taken away. But those who hear the truth and receive the truth, they will receive more and more and more truth. And he says in verse 13, therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, or become dull, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The majority in that crowd had closed their ears and shut their eyes to the truth that Jesus was trying to preach to them. And those who had rejected the truth would eventually lose that truth that they heard. And those who received the truth would eventually receive more truth. Parables really had a dual purpose. They were meant to hide the truth from those who had rejected the truth and to reveal the truth to those who had received the truth. And in this parable, we see there are four kinds of hearts, four kinds of soils, but really there are only two kinds of people. And Jesus makes that clear in verse 11 when he says, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Two kinds of people, those who are without, those who are outside. And in reference to that parable, those who have the hard soil of the wayside and the stony soil, and those who have the thorny soil, those are the outsiders. And then there are the insiders, you who believe. Those who have the good soil to receive the truth, to receive specifically the gospel, the insiders and the outsiders. The reason for the parable, to hide the truth from those who rejected the truth and to reveal the truth to those who had received the truth. But let's get into the interpretation of the parable, verses 14 through 20. In verse 14, Jesus says, the sower sowed the word. So the sower, in the immediate interpretation, is Jesus, who is sowing the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel. But the sower is anyone who spreads the gospel, who shares God's word with someone else. Those who share the word of God, those who share the gospel. The seed is the gospel. The seed is God's word. The four soils represent four kinds of hearts. And how those hearts receive the gospel. They also represent four kinds of hearers and how those hearers respond to God's word. And this is what really jumped out at me as we studied this in our teen Sunday school class. You know, I think as Christians, sometimes we look at the parable of the soils and we think, I'm good because my heart is good soil. I've received the truth of the gospel. I believe. So my heart is good soil. And we stop there and we don't understand that there's a further application for us as believers. And that application is, what kind of hearers are we as believers? How do we hear God's word? How do we listen to his word? So let me just point out before we go any farther, four types of soils we're going to look at, four types of hearts. There's only one type of soil, one type of heart that is a genuine believer. The other three are not genuine believers. But as we get into this idea of hearers, as Christians, as believers, at any point in time, in any service that we sit in, as we listen to the radio, as we drive in our car to a sermon on the radio, as we read God's word for ourselves, as we sit and discuss God's word with someone else, at any point in our lives, we as Christians can be like any of these hearers. And that's what I want to challenge us with this morning. I think for the most part, most of us could say, you know what, I'm in that category of the good soil because I've believed the gospel. I've received Jesus Christ. But we all have to be very careful as Christians what kind of hearers we are when we sit down to listen to God's word. The sower sowed the word. And verse 15 says, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. First of all, we have the unresponsive heart, the unresponsive hearer. This is the seed that is cast on the wayside. Now, back in biblical times, the fields were crisscrossed and surrounded by pathways that, because of foot traffic, would become packed down and hardened. And the seed that landed on those pathways could not get down into the soil, and so it wouldn't be long before the birds came and they found those seeds and they ate those seeds, and those seeds didn't get down into the soil and those seeds didn't produce any fruit. And this is like those who hear the gospel and they just outright reject it. I don't want it. I don't believe it. I don't accept it. There are those who just reject the gospel. And we have a good example of that. I'm going to try to give you an example for each one of these. In the book of Mark, back in chapter 3, so you don't have to turn back very far, the first six verses of Mark chapter 3, a good example of this hardened heart. Speaking of Jesus, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, he was grieved, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. How can you respond to a miracle that way? How can your heart be so hard that you can watch Jesus perform a miracle and yet leave that place seeking to destroy him? That is seed that falls on the wayside. That is the truth, the gospel, that is just outright rejected by the people that hear. But we see that this also represents unresponsive hearers. And I think we all have found ourselves in that position from time to time. Have you ever read the scripture or heard the scripture preached, and the message of that scripture is something that you do not want to hear? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to believe that. I don't want to do that. You know, there are a couple of examples that come right to mind, but I think the teaching in Scripture of forgiving one another, isn't sometimes that a difficult truth to grapple with? How can I forgive that person? How can I forget what they've done to me? How can I offer forgiveness to them? And it seems so hard for us to do that we don't even want to hear it. Or loving your enemies. Really, I'm supposed to show love to those who treat me that way? And there are certain truths from God's word that we just don't want to hear. Isn't that true? And if we're not careful, what happens is we give Satan the opportunity to come and snatch that truth out of our hearts because we don't allow it to sink down into our hearts and to produce fruit. Unresponsive hearers. Verses 16 and 17, we see the next soil. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when the affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are those who hear the gospel, and they receive it right away, but it's not long before they understand that following Christ comes with a price, right? All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And to follow Christ means there will be troubles and there will be trials and there will be tribulations and there will be persecutions. And when those things come along, because their belief, their faith is shallow and it's not genuine, they turn away from the truth just as quickly as they receive the truth, right? Well, I don't want that any longer. I'm just going to go my own way. They don't want to deal with the trials and the tribulations and the persecutions that arise from following Christ. They are impulsive hearts who impulsively receive it but don't count the cost. And we see impulsive hearers. There are times when we hear God's word as Christians and we receive it right away, which is the right thing to do. But then we discover that if I obey this truth from God's word, it's going to cause trouble in my life. If I obey this truth in God's word, it might even cause persecution at my work or at my school. Well, I can't have that. And just as quickly as we receive God's truth, we turn away from it. Say, that's not for me. Impulsive hearers. There's a good example of that in Luke chapter 9. Impulsive believers. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, Jesus talks about these three individuals. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. A man comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I will go wherever you go. I will follow wherever you lead. Well, that's wonderful. But then Jesus says these words, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Now, we're not told what this man does, but the implication is that he turned away and did not follow Jesus because Jesus had no place to call his own, no place to call his home. It would be a sacrifice to follow him. The next man in verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. Let me first bury my father, who, by the way, isn't dead yet. But as soon as he dies, I'll bury him and I'll come and follow you, Lord. Right? The next man in verse 60, and Jesus says unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And that seems like a reasonable request, doesn't it? I will follow you, but let me first go home and say goodbye. The problem are the words, let me first. That's the problem right there. I have something that comes first. I have something that's more important. So let me do this first, and then I'll follow you. And these three individuals impulsively wanted to follow Christ. Yeah, that sounds great. But when they counted the cost, when they saw what it would cost them to follow him, just as quickly they rejected that truth and they turned away. And the implication is none of those three followed Jesus. We go back to Mark chapter 4. And we see our next soil, our next ground in verses 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And we see the distracted heart, the distracted hearer, someone who receives the gospel, who receives the truth, and even seems to be growing for a time in that truth. But that truth is choked out by the thorn bushes of this world. And three thorn bushes are given here: the cares of this world, the problems of life that we face. And aren't there a lot of problems in life that we face? Paying the bills, finding a job, dealing with illness that comes up. And we could just go on and on and on and on, right? The problems of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the prosperity of life. I can't tell you how many times over the years that I've been here at Westside that I have seen people choose prosperity, money, over a relationship with God. It just happens over and over and over again. And riches are so deceitful. They promise so much and they can't deliver. Riches can't deliver satisfaction. And riches can't deliver happiness and joy. All that comes through Christ. Christ offers us fullness of life. Riches are so deceitful. And the third thorn bush, the desire for other things, the lust for other things, the strong desire for things, the pleasures of life. And this is like someone who receives the word and immediately believes the word and seems to grow for a while, but then the thorn bushes of the world grow up and choke out that truth so that he produces no fruit. And that's a key here, the production of fruit. Genuine faith in Christ will always produce fruit. And if there's no fruit, there's no life. With Jesus Christ, there is life. No fruit, no life. And so, distracted by the things of this world, there's a good example of this. It's not a good example. It's a sad example. In Mark chapter 10. And it truly is, as we study through this in Teen Sunday School, it truly is a poignant story. You think about everyone who comes to Christ, who came to Christ and fell at his feet, and they were forgiven and they were healed. And this is the only person who came to Christ and fell at his feet and left sorrowing. And that says a lot. And it's all because of the deceitfulness of riches. Verse 17, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And verse 22, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved. The only person who ever came to Christ and fell at his feet and went away grieved because he had great riches. He couldn't give up his possessions, his riches for Christ. And the deceitfulness of riches grew up and strangled out the truth of the gospel that this young man had heard. And if we're not careful, as believers, we can become distracted hearers as well, right? Isn't that easy for us? We hear the truth from God's word and we accept it. And for a time, it seems to be growing in our lives. But then the things of this world just come and choke it out. The problems that we face, the desire for money, chasing that dollar, the pleasures of this world, we allow those things to choke out the truth of God's word. And it doesn't produce the fruit in our lives that it should be producing. And then we have one more, the responsive heart, the responsive hearer, the good ground in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Genuine faith always brings forth fruit. It's not always the same amount of fruit, but there's always some fruit there. There's always fruit. And if there's no fruit, there is no life. The responsive heart, the one who hears the gospel and believes the gospel, and you begin to see fruit being produced in their life because they're truly following Christ. We see a great example of that in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, a familiar story to you, the Philippian jailer. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And verse 30, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This prison guard had been listening to Paul and Silas sing praises to God all night long. But the truth of that had sunk into his heart. And when the opportunity came, the question was, what do I need to do to be saved? And the answer was, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And he received the gospel, and fruit was produced in his life right away. Look at this. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." There was fruit because he shared that good news with his family. There was fruit because he took Paul and Silas to his home and cared for their needs. Immediately there's fruit in this man's life because he was a genuine convert. He had genuinely come to know Christ as his Savior. That seed had fallen on good ground. And that's the kind of hearer that we are striving to be, right? A good hearer, a responsive hearer. There are three present participles in the Greek language in verse number 20, and the present participle denotes continued action. They hear the word. So a responsive hearer will pay attention and hear the word. And not just hear the word right now. And not just hear the word when you get home and you read your Bible and your personal devotions. But it means to continually, over and over and over again, you are hearing the word. Not just once, but over and over and over and over again. Not only are you hearing the word, but you are receiving the word. That means you are accepting the word. You are obeying the word. Not just once, but over and over and over and over and over and over again. That continues in your life. And you are bringing forth fruit. Not just one time, but over and over and over and over again in your life. The truth of God's word is producing fruit in your life. That's the kind of hearer that we want to be. Amen? That's the kind of hearer we strive to be. We're not always that kind of hearer, are we? No, not always. What kind of fruit is being produced, by the way? And I'm not going to give you an extensive list, but just a few things. How about the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's being produced in your life. The fruit of holiness. Paul wrote in Romans 6:22, "But now being made free from sin, we become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." We are becoming more and more holy, more and more like Christ, more and more righteous in our lives. The fruit of seeing others come to Christ. John 4, verses 35 and 36, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Isn't that wonderful fruit to see others come to know Christ because you shared the gospel with them? The fruit of good works, Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." There will be the fruit of good works, and fruit will be produced in the life of a genuine believer, in the life of a responsive hearer. Fruit will be produced. But let me end with this. There's hope for the unresponsive heart and the unresponsive hearer, and there is hope for the impulsive heart and the impulsive hearer, and there is hope for the distracted heart and the distracted hearer. I love this verse in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, and it says, "Is not thy word like fire?" And God's word can burn up the thorn bushes of this world. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, God's word can break that hardened ground in our hearts, that stony ground in our hearts. It can break it up. There is hope. Back to that story very briefly in Mark chapter 10 of the rich young ruler. He left grieved. And in verse 23, Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard, and we're going to see that word really means impossible, how impossible it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The eye of the needle is a literal needle and a literal camel. It's not the gate in the city of Jerusalem. There was no eye of the needle gate in Jesus' day. It wasn't there. Jesus is speaking about a literal needle and a camel fitting through it. That's impossible. It can't be done. And they were astonished, verse 26, out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It's possible with God. God's word can change our hearts and change our ears and change our lives. God faithfully confronts us with his truth. But if we don't respond to it, friend, we're going to lose it. What kind of heart do you have? I hope sitting here today you can have, I have a heart like that good soil because I've received the gospel and I receive God's truth. I receive God's word. What kind of hearer are you? It's a sobering truth for all of us that week after week we sit under the preaching and teaching of God's word here at Westside, and we must respond to that truth in a positive way. May we, as members here at Westside, have hearts that say, Lord, you have spoken, and I will do it. May we be responsive hearers.